Well, amen. Welcome, welcome. Who's here for the first time? Please raise your hand. Let's see. There we go. Amen. This is possibly a little bit different to what you are used to, but different is good sometimes. Amen. Different is good. I'm busy with a series on God's plan, God's heart to prosper mankind. If you could choose between being prosperous and suffering, who would choose to prosper? You know, I was expecting at least a couple of people to jump up and down by now. Okay, I'll do that for you. Amen. And if you could choose to suffer and battle through life, who would choose that? Then you've come to the right place today. Amen. Let me give you a scripture. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Somebody say, that's me. Do you realize what you just said? Listen to the scripture. Let them shout for joy. That's you. I need a shout for joy. Thank you. And be glad. Put a smile on your dial. That favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Listen to me. That scripture puts it better than what I could ever preach any sermon, because it puts it there in a way that you cannot dispute. God is happy. God is excited. God is blessed when he sees you prosper, when he sees your life go forward and not backward. Remember, the Lord has called you to be the head and not the tail. God wants to put you on top. He doesn't want you to be at the bottom. Amen? So thus far we have seen from God's word that it is definitely not God's will for us to battle and suffer through life, but rather that God would see us prosper, that he would see us go forward in life. Now, I would like to use an analogy to help you to understand a little bit better something regarding prosperity. You see, my friend, it may be God's will, and we know that it is God's will for us to be prosperous, for us to be blessed, for us to go forward in life. And we know that all of these things have been made available to us in the kingdom of God. But that doesn't always mean that every person that is part of the kingdom of God is experiencing what has already been given and what has been made available to them. I want to compare prosperity with a person that receives a brand new car. Now, I've never had the fortune of receiving a brand new car. All my cars have been secondhand, but I have a sneaky suspicion all of that is going to change somewhere around along the line. Amen, amen, yes, yes. And probably you know that there's very few things that matches with that feeling that you have when you receive something brand spanking new. Nobody else has driven it into the ground before. It hasn't been patched up by some unscrupulous secondhand car dealer, and you're going to find out all the problems later. It's brand new. It's a great blessing. Now, the car is something amazing. It is something wonderful. It is something extremely practical. It allows us to do so many things that we probably couldn't do if we didn't have that vehicle. You see, a vehicle makes life much easier. It's no problem walking to the corner cafe, but it's a huge problem walking to Sandton. How many of you know what I'm talking about? A vehicle would make that a lot easier. Without a vehicle, you shouldn't even contemplate visiting your relatives in Cape Town, because I don't think in your lifetime you'll make the trip. Hello? So that vehicle allows you to experience prosperity because it makes life easier for you, and you start going somewhere. You start going forward. Now, locked up in that vehicle is an enormous amount of potential. But unfortunately, without a driver, that potential means nothing. That vehicle can do a lot of good, but it needs to be in the hands of somebody that understands it, that knows how it works, if it is to do the good that it is capable of doing. You see, that car means nothing to you if it's locked up in somebody's garage. And just telling people that you have it, you know, let's just say, for example, I give you a brand new vehicle and you run around the south of Joburg and you're like all excited telling everybody, I have a brand new car, I have a brand new car. But it's stuck in the garage and you don't know how to use it. It's nice to tell people you have this brand new car, but is it benefiting you? Yes or no? Well, in that case, it's not benefiting you at all, and I might as well not have given it to you. Because it wasn't given just so that you can say, I have it. It was given so that you can experience what it will bring into your life. What if you fill it, or you forget to fill up that vehicle with petrol? Is it still capable of blessing your life? No. It's become a great big anchor, ship's anchor. Because you can't experience the blessing and the benefit that it brings. What if nobody ever told you that the thing has actually got five gears and you get stuck in first gear and you really can't understand why it's a 3-hour trip to Sandton? You tell everybody, you know what, this brand new car of mine is a hunk of junk. I don't know why cars cost so much money, because it's not making my life easier. I'm sure I can run faster than this stupid thing goes. Where's the problem? Is the problem with the car or is the problem with the driver? Most cars' problems start with their drivers. Yo, especially when they're teenagers, you must watch them. Prosperity is the same as receiving a new car. Some people are just happy to hear that they are supposed to be prosperous. Ooh, have you heard God says, I'm supposed to be prosperous? They're falling apart. They're poor as a church mouse. They got problems, problems, problems in every area of their life, but they feel happy knowing that they are actually supposed to be prosperous. You know, prosperity is supposed to be part of my life. That's the same as somebody parking the car in the garage and still walking for the rest of their life. It means nothing for you. Some people get stuck in first gear. Some people don't know how to start the vehicle. Some unlock the potential and they move along at a great pace. Imagine you have been stuck in first gear for a long time and somebody comes past you with the same vehicle. Let's just talk vehicles. Let's say that it is I'm biased towards certain vehicles, so I won't use them. Otherwise, it might be seen in a bad light. So let's just say it is a Toyota. What Toyota would it be? A Toyota Camry. All right, let's just say that you have a Toyota Camry and you've been stuck in first gear all this time. And this gentleman, what is your name, sir? Dolphy, comes cruising past at 120 kilometers per hour and he's driving the same make, the same year, the same model, and you see, there this oak goes. It's a bit of a shock to the system because you thought you were getting the most out of your vehicle. You could never understand why you and your wife can't speak on long trips because the engine is doing 8,000 RPM and the valves are bouncing. Dick, 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 dick. And yet this oak just comes past effortlessly. It's like, wow, wow, there's actually more to this vehicle than meets the eye. Now, prosperity is the same. Listen to me. Prosperity is available to you. It's available to you. Don't look at me that way. It is. I'm not lying. It's available to you. It's available to you as a family. Can you believe it? It's even available to you. Hey? Amen. Prosperity isn't something that God just gives to certain people. Prosperity is something that God has packaged into His kingdom. And when you enter into the kingdom of God, God wants you to experience the blessings thereof. But often we look at certain people and we say, yesterday God must have favorites. Because check that out, take off and go. His life, he's flying along. And me, I'm crawling along. No. There's a problem with the driver. Nudge the person next to you and say, there's a problem with the driver. So we need to educate the driver. That means you. Listen here. I don't like the fact that some of you had this smirk on your face when you did this to your partner next to you. I think some of you need prayer. Luckily, I'm going to be here afterwards and I'm going to be praying for you. Amen. Wow, good, good. Okay, so some people unlock all the potential and they move forward in life. Some people never unlock the potential and they get stuck in a rut and they become bitter, they become angry, they become full of nonsense because other people are going somewhere and they aren't going somewhere. Now, I want you to think about some of the people that you know in your life that seriously are prospering. And then I want to say to you that you are no different to them. There is no good reason why they can be going somewhere in their life, and you aren't. Because the same God that prospers them wants to prosper you. Now, just like you have to do certain things to make a car run, you also have to do certain things in order for you to come to a place where you experience the prosperity that God says should be yours. Now, previously I've showed you that when we give our tithe, when we give to the kingdom of God from the tithe, it gives God the right to interfere in our finances. And listen to me, there are some of you that desperately need God to interfere in your finances because you don't know how to work with it. Hello? As long as you are in charge of your finances, you are constantly in trouble. You are always suffering and you are sinking, not swimming. The Bible says when we begin to give of our tithe, we allow God to take control of our finances. Whoopsie. We never checked the rating on that chair. We apologize for that. I think taking this chair here from the front, please. Well, bless God. You are a very prosperous man because you could have broken your spine and God had mercy on you. Amen. Bless God for that. When I tithe, God is allowed to put his hand on my finances. Now, some of you might be thinking to yourself, but why must God put his hand on my finances? Because God sees everything. God knows everything. God knows the future. He knows the plans of the devil. And listen to the scripture. Malachi 3 verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have room enough to contain it. Listen to me. Listen to me. I know for some of you this is a serious stretch of your imagination, but God says when his principles begin to work in your life, you're going to have to find a bigger house. Because there won't be enough space for what he wants to send into your life. I know some of you are sitting here thinking this man must be crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I'm giving you the word of God. That's what the Bible says. And now look at the added benefit. This is amazing. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord. I will rebuke the devourer. There are a lot of people sitting here today. You are battling financially because the devourer has been running away with your blessings. Satan is a thief. John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief came for no other reason than to steal and to kill and to destroy. We are warned in scripture that Satan has his eyes on you. And he has his eyes on your finances. He has his eyes on your belongings. He loves to steal from us. Why? Because it makes us frustrated. It makes us bitter. It makes us angry. It makes us turn around and say stupid things like, if there is a God, why does he allow all this rubbish to come into my life? In the natural, who of you have armed response? Wave at me. Come on, don't. If you have armed response, just wave at me. Who of you has an alarm in their car? Who of you have big dogs that even you are afraid of? Yeah. Why do we have these things? Because we are trying to keep the little that we have. We understand that we don't want thieves coming and stealing our stuff. Now, the Bible says there is a way for God to become involved in your finances and for him to oversee the security. And he doesn't need some big company. He doesn't need Rottweilers that even want to destroy their owners. He doesn't need so many fitteriasis that you can't even get your car started in the morning because you have to press this button and then you have to go under the seat and do this and that. Because God is God. And he says, if I begin to see you tithe, I will take responsibility for your finances. And when the devourer comes against you, I'll give him one snort clap. There he goes. Now, what good is it having money? What good is it being prosperous? What good is it trying to go forward if the devourer will simply run away with your blessings? So the first thing that you want to do is to allow God to take control of your finances, because then he will protect you from the devourer. Now the next principle, a very important principle that I want to talk about today, is the principle of sowing a seed, sowing and reaping. Now you may not realize it, but regardless of what your job is here on earth, some of you are doctors, some of you are mechanics, some of you are plumbers, some of you just spend your time working on people's nerves, and you should also come for prayer. But in any case, all of you sitting here, you have some kind of a profession. And I realize that, but I've got some interesting news for you. When God looks at you, he doesn't see the engineer, he doesn't see the plumber, he doesn't see the electrician or the teacher. When God looks at you, he sees a farmer. Now, I know in some circles, when you call somebody a farmer, it is hardly a nice way of saying something to them. You know, I used to have this friend, whenever somebody did something stupid, she would say, "Oh, what a farmer." Now, God doesn't see you as that kind of farmer, just for in case you were thinking that that's the way it goes. No, no, my friend, listen to this. God sees you as a farmer. And I'm talking about a farmer who makes use of the principles of sowing and reaping. For in case you are thinking to yourself, this man has lost it, he's gone crazy, let me just show you a very, very important scripture that'll hopefully get you to understand some of these things. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. God is the one speaking. He says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. God gives us his very own promise. And when God says it, it's a guarantee. There is a difference between God saying somebody and your mother-in-law saying somebody, hello. There's a difference between God saying something and your shady buddy at the pub saying something. When certain people talk, you just have to ignore it because you never know whether what they are saying is true. When God talks, it's always truth. It's always truth. So God gives us his very own promise here. Just like you can depend on daylight. How many of you know tomorrow when you wake up, there will be sunshine? Okay, I'm not talking about when it's overcast and it's raining. The sun is still there behind the clouds. But you know that you know that there will be sunshine tomorrow. You know that we are in summer now, but it's not going to last. Because after summer, we get fall, and after fall, we get winter. Hello? Now, just like you can depend on daylight tomorrow and winter next year, so God says he will always watch over every seed that is planted, and he will allow it to grow into a harvest. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never fall away. Now this was true for Adam. This was true for Abraham. This was true for Noah, for David, for Solomon, for Peter, for Paul. And guess what? It is true today for you, and it's true today for me. It is true for you, and it is true for me. That seed time and harvest time is still something that God waits for, looks for, and needs to bless. Because his word says he will do it. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his own heart to give, not reluctantly or under any compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound in you and around you, so that in all things and in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, it is very clear here that the Apostle Paul is talking about sowing and he's talking about reaping. And I want you to understand, he's not talking about agricultural sowing and reaping. The Apostle Paul is not saying, listen, yeah, get rid of your children's playground at the back of the house, turn it into an agricultural site, and go and sow carrots and lettuce, etc., etc. Because he's not talking about agriculture, yeah. He's talking about something else. The seed that Paul talks here about is finances. It is money. And Paul explains that the way for you to sow finances is to give it to the work of the kingdom of God. Look at the passage that precedes his explanation of sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous blessing, the generous gift that you have promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift and not as a gift that is grudgingly given. What is he talking about there? This church was taking up an offering that would be given to the work of the kingdom of God. He talks about the fact that they are sowing into the kingdom. And he reminds them, whether you sow or don't sow is your own choice. But understand that what you sow is what's going to come back to you. And understand that when you sow, God is the one that takes care of the fact that there must be a harvest that returns. Now, every day all over the world, you will find farmers working very hard. Some of them are plowing their fields. In other parts of the world, they are planting. In other parts of the world, they are clearing all the rubbish so that they can prepare the soil to take the seeds. They are working fertilizer into the soil. And let me just put it to you this way. Farming is some of the hardest work you can do. I know some of you think that you've got a tough sitting behind a desk in front of a computer. But you must try being outside in the African sun, working and tilling the soil. That's tough, hard work. Yet there are millions of people all over the world that choose farming as a profession. Why would they do that? If they didn't know and understand a principle that is very important here, sowing will always bring about reaping. And the harvest is where your fruit lies. The harvest is where the blessing comes from. Farmers understand something that Christians often don't understand. Until you work hard and put something into the soil, you can't expect anything to start coming back to you. Sowing and reaping allows a farmer to multiply his assets. Now let's get back to you and me. I know that you don't have a farm. I'm aware of that. I know that you can't afford a tractor or a plow. And I know that it would be stupid for you to buy one because you can't run down Yellow Street Extension with your tractor. They will lock you up. But God still sees you as a farmer. You see, God has structured his kingdom in such a way that each of us, you and me, each of us, whether we be teachers or secretaries or bankers or housewives or mechanics or plumbers, electricians, each of us has a place that we can sow into the kingdom of God. Now listen to me, this is something that you have to understand because I think it's been taken out of proportion in many churches. You are not forced to sow anything. And God doesn't tell you how much you have to give. He leaves it up to you to decide, number one, do you want to sow? And he leaves it up to you, number two, what do I want to sow? But the principles will always be in effect as long as the earth endures. He who sows plenty, the Apostle Paul says, can expect a very big return. He who sows little, the Apostle Paul says, can expect a little return. He who sows nothing shouldn't expect anything, because that's how it works. So what I'm trying to say here is that the door to prosperity through this principle of the kingdom of God is there for every single person. There is not one person yet today that can say, listen, yeah, God hasn't provided ways for me to experience his prosperity and his blessing, because the door is there. But whether you go through the door or not is your own choice. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. I want to talk about this because I know for a lot of people this is an issue. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly and not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Please listen to what he says here very carefully. God doesn't want any seed that you sow into the kingdom because somebody forced you. You cannot be forced into this principle. God will only honor seed that comes from your heart. God will not honor you if you are not sure about this, but your wife keeps saying, we have to give, we have to give, we have to provide a way for God to bless us. Now you write that check for 1,000 rand or whatever, and you give it to the work of God. Please take your check, fold it up, put it in your back pocket and go home. Because the attitude that you're giving it with, God says that's not what he wants. And in the same way, you should never, ever, ever give anything when somebody standing with a microphone in front is trying to wring it out of you. When they keep talking about, oh, God has told me that there's three people here that's going to give 1,000 rand. We can't let the meeting go. We're going to pitch tents and we're going to camp here until the money starts coming in. Listen here, when somebody tries to manipulate you to give into the kingdom of God, God is not involved. Because his word says clearly, do not give under compulsion. In other words, do not give because somebody is trying to manipulate you or somebody is trying to force you. But that doesn't change the fact that the principles of sowing and reaping were given by God, are blessed by God, and God is the one that makes sure that they always work. When that farmer takes his little millipip and puts it into the ground, he forgets about it and he goes on with something else. He fixes the tractor and then he builds on another shed because he's expecting a big harvest. He doesn't think about it again. When he walks past there 2 months later, the millie is up to here. Has the farmer done anything to get the millie up to there? No. God has taken care of that. And there's going to come a day when he's going to send his laborers into the fields and he's going to say, it's harvest time. Guess what? Everything concerning the growth of the seed that was put into the ground belongs to God. Hello? And it's exactly the same when it comes to you and I sowing into the kingdom of God. You don't have to sow and then for the rest, never leave church again and keep watching. What is the pastor doing with the money? Where are they going with it? What are you doing? It's out of your hands. When you've given it, God takes over. The principle of sowing and reaping kicks into effect. God doesn't have to be checked on. He gave us a promise. As long as heaven and earth endures, seed time and harvest time will never fall away. When you put something in, it'll come out. You see, the thing is, I know, because I've been to some of these churches myself in my earlier years. I went to some churches where, you know what, I could only shake my head. Because the sermon is 20 minutes, and it takes them half an hour to wara-wara about the offering. Yesterday, man, come on, give me a break. My ears are bleeding. And they keep grinding you. You have to give. You have to give. You don't give nothing because people tell you to give. You give because in your heart you feel you want to give. God honors that way of giving. God does not honor manipulation. God does not honor intimidation. God does not honor control. And listen to me. If you don't want to give, that's your choice as well. God doesn't tell you what to give and he doesn't tell you how to give. He just says, listen, yeah, there is a principle in my kingdom. It is called sowing a seed, reaping a harvest. If you choose to partake of it, you can and know that I will bless you. If you choose not to, that's fine as well. And the principle of sowing and reaping doesn't only work when people give 1,000 rand. It doesn't only work when people give 10,000 rand. It works for 50 cents. It works for 2 rand. It works for 50 rand. It works for whatever you want to give from your heart. But the fact of the matter is, till you put something into the ground, nothing's going to start coming back out. And sometimes you have to start small because you don't have a lot. You start with 50 cents, but you say to the Lord, Lord, this is my 50 cents. For me, it's a lot. You remember what Jesus said about the woman that gave the 2 pennies? The men that walked around her that were giving 1,000 rand and 2,000 rand and 10,000 rand, none of them impressed him much. Because they had millions in the bank. Yet they were giving thousands. So they were giving like 0.00000001% of their income. How can that bless God? But this little woman gave 2 pennies, which a lot of the people thought, man, geez, look at this woman. She's going to offend God. Her 2 pennies meant more to her than the 10,000 rand that the other oak gave. And that blessed God. But the fact of the matter is, if you start with a 50 cents, It's going to go into the soil. God's going to put his blessing upon it. It's going to come back bigger. And guess what? Maybe in a year's time, you can start giving a rand. And then maybe in 2 years' time, you can start giving 10 rand. And who knows? Maybe in 15 years' time, you can start giving 1,000. Because God keeps blessing what you put in. He keeps blessing what you put in. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? All right. Now, there's another very important thing that you have to understand. I want to talk about the different types of seed that you can give. You see, every farmer out there sows a seed, and he does so for a specific harvest. If you farm with millies, what type of seed do you think you should be sowing? Millies. How stupid will it be for a farmer that sows millies that one day just decides, I've had it with millies, I want to sow beans, but all his agricultural equipment is geared for millies? How many of you know he's going to start making mistakes and his harvest is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller? When you sow a seed, you have to sow for something specific. A millie farmer wants millies. A potato farmer wants potatoes. A farmer that sows grass, like lucerne or something, for animals to feed on, it's ridiculous for him to sow anything else because his animals want that feed. And he's trying to get that kind of a harvest. So therefore, every farmer will make sure when he comes to planting that the seed he sows is in line with the expectation that he has to come back to him. Millies produce millies. Potatoes produce potatoes. Now, the reason why a farmer can decide for himself what kind of farmer he wants to be is because seeds are very predictable. If you put an apple seed into the ground, and a cactus comes up, then you are in the twilight zone. Because in the normal world, that's not the way it works. All right? Or maybe you smoked something and you need to come for prayer. But regardless of what's wrong, you know that you know that you know that if I have an X seed in my hand and I put it into the ground, an X fruit will always come up. Seeds don't suddenly change the way that they react just because they are in your hands. And even if you say to me, you know what, Rion, I don't have green fingers. You don't need green fingers to work into the kingdom. Because God is in charge. So therefore, every farmer decides beforehand, what do I want to farm with? If you want to farm with millies, you buy yourself the type of equipment that is used to work with millies. What is a strooper in Engels? A harvester. You buy certain combine harvesters with certain attachments on them to work with certain types of fruit. And you know what? The reason why he can go to the co-op and spend 10 million rand on a combine harvester for millies is because he knows he's going to get a harvest of millies. Now, this is important. This is very important. Genesis 11. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their own kinds and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their own kinds. This is why you can depend on farming. Because that's the way God said it will be. What you put in is what you get out. So what does this mean for you and I? You see, just like a farmer sows into his land, expecting a specific harvest, so when you decide to sow into the kingdom of God, you have to also sow with an expectation. I want you to listen because some of you are going to be shocked now. But there are many of you sitting, yeah, you have been sowing seeds for years, but never had any harvest. And some of you have been sowing a lot. But you haven't had an expectation for something to come back. You see, the thing is, when a potato farmer plants a seed, he makes sure he plants a potato and he knows, I want potatoes to come back. The farmer cannot go to the seed store and say to them, listen, yeah, Here's what I would like to do. There where you mix all the seeds, I want to come and I want to sweep up all the seeds that have fallen to the ground, because you'll give them to me at a cheaper rate. Then he takes all of the seeds that's fallen to the ground. He takes it to his farm. He sows all of that into his fields. And then he gets very upset because there are no sunflowers. And he was expecting sunflowers. Come on, does it work that way? But you see, that's what some of us do. We just put it in there. We never tell God what it is that we're putting in. A seed is a seed that will bring a harvest. Well, what are you sowing? Are you sowing for finances? Are you sowing for wisdom? Are you sowing for a new job? Hello? Until you name the seed is just floating away out there. It can never produce a harvest because you have to have an expectation. Remember, the Bible says every seed reproduces after its own kind. Now let's talk about money. Money itself is not a seed. Money represents a seed. Okay, here in my pocket, I have 50 bucks. If the offering comes past and I put this 50 bucks into the offering, it's just money. But I'm not allowing it to represent something. Because this money in my hands can become petrol. Hello? This money in my hands can become food. This money in my hands can be invested so that it can bring about more money. I am the one that decides what to do with this 50 bucks. So when I put it into the offering plate and I don't assign something to it, it's just going away from me. But I can assign a seed value to it. I can say to the Lord, Lord, this 50 rand, I thank you that today this can represent unity between me and my husband. Hello? Then I'm sowing a seed of unity, and guess what? Somewhere along the line, a harvest of unity is going to come. Or I can say, you know what, Lord? I really need blessings for my children because I can see that they are suffering and for some reason they're not experiencing favor at school. Lord, I thank you that this can be labeled favor. From today, this 50 rand is favor that I'm sowing into the kingdom of God, and I thank you that it'll come back to my children. Now, it's become a seed. Until you don't assign value to it, it's nothing. It's never going to come back to you. It's just going to go down. But now it can go back. All right. So, let's say that you are trusting God for a new job. With better hours, with more pay, with better conditions. Now I'm talking to about 98% of you sitting here. Getting such a job, would you agree with me, would mean, ooh, God is blessing you something chronic. You are prospering. And God does want you to prosper. Amen? So, you should probably be praying about it and saying to the Lord, Lord, I need a new job. I need better working hours. I need more finances. Yes, pray about it because you have to. But you see, there's also this other biblical principle called sowing and reaping that is available to you. And maybe you feel in your heart that you would like to put a seed into the ground that can start coming back and give you a harvest. You need to start sowing with that type of expectation. You need to say to the Lord, Lord, whatever I'm putting into your kingdom today, I thank you that this is my seed that I call a new job. Amen? I'm calling this seed a new job. Why is that important? Because a new job can't come to you if you haven't put it into the ground. And just putting 50 bucks in there, that's doing nothing. Because you haven't assigned a name, a title, a value to it. So, now that God knows what type of seed you have sown, God can allow it to reproduce after its own kind. Because that's what the Bible says. Seed will always reproduce after its own kind. Give it a kind. Tell the Lord what it is. Then it'll start working. Now, so we understand now, hopefully, that God still honors the promise of sowing and reaping a harvest. And probably by now, some of you are sitting here thinking to yourself, ooh, I have plenty needs in my life. I have plenty areas that could benefit from a good harvest. And then the next question is obviously in people's minds, ooh, so how long do I have to wait for this to happen? You see, let me just help you out here. You don't put 100 rand into the offering today and tomorrow you stand in front of the VW dealership waiting for your GTI. Because there's a lot of people that do that, and then they can get so upset with God because the salesmen haven't heard of them and they aren't standing waiting with the keys. Ooh, Mr. Pochenpool, we've heard about you. God gave me a telepathic message last night in my dream. An angel told me I have to give you this key. Have you ever heard of stuff like that happen? Neither have I, so it doesn't. Hello? I can't say nothing like that happens because God is bigger than me, but it doesn't. You don't put it in today and it comes tomorrow. Let me give you a good scripture. It comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 35. So, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Ooh, how many of you have heard that that's a promise? God is talking, and he says, do not throw away your confidence. If you have confidence in God, don't throw it away, because God will honor you and you will be rewarded. But now, he continues, he says, you need to persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what God has promised. For in just a very little while, somebody say with me, a very little while, which to God might be a year, but in the bigger scheme of things, that's tiny. But in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. But we are of those who believe, and therefore we will be saved. So this passage is really talking about having patience. Which is not what most of you wanted to hear. Because the word patience means, I still have to wait. I still have to wait some more. Can I tell you what the problem is with our generation? Our generation has grown up in the quick fix era. We have fast food. We have fast cars. We have microwaves. You know, when I was a child and you wanted Milo, you first had to go and dig there through 100 pots and pans, things falling all over you. Then you find the little pot. Then you switch on the stove, and it used to be those old-fashioned stoves. It takes half an hour for it to reach any kind of a heat level. You pour in the milk. And then I learned the hard way that if you stand there and you stir it, then it'll probably go boiling a lot quicker. So for the next 2 hours, we stand there, shiri, 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 and because we're expecting something to happen. Our kids today take the milk out of the refrigerator. They take a jug out of the cupboard. They put them together. They put 1 minute high on the microwave. They walk away. They go and make sure that they are not missing Hannah Montana, and they check it out. They hear ding, 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 and their Milo is ready. And now we have the same expectation when we come into the kingdom of God. Woo! If God doesn't jump when we want something, man, is there going to be trouble. Let me tell you something. It's disgusting when a child sulks all the time. It's even worse when an adult sulks. There's a lot of adults walking around with long faces because God hasn't jumped when they expected him to jump. Ooh, God doesn't work that way. And guess what? You know when you were young, a lot of kids, the way that they get their parents to do whatever they want is like, I'm not going to wait until I get blue in the face because I still have to preach and pray for people, but you know what I'm talking about. You being angry, you telling God I'm not going to go to church anymore, you telling God, ooh, I will never give any money to you again. Guess what? He doesn't lose any sleep over that. You hurt yourself. You never hurt God. But look at what he says here. Ooh, this is so good. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly. Ooh, somebody say with me, richly. Rewarded. This is not my words. Those are God's words. But can I tell you what is wrong with our generation? If it hasn't happened tomorrow or the day after, we take it, we throw it in the dustbin. Oh, you know what? These people just took all my money and nothing has happened and wada wada. Never go to that church again. That's what people do. Because it didn't come like that. Oh, it doesn't work. What do you think is going to happen to the farmer that sows his millies? And if it doesn't pop up next week, says, ooh, send the bulldozer over there. We're not planting millies anymore. He'll go bankrupt. And so will you, spiritually, unless you understand that there is a place for patience in the kingdom of God. Patience and confidence, according to the Bible, will be richly rewarded. Doubt and unbelief will get you nowhere except in trouble. Look at what he says here. Ooh. My sermon was listening to my sermon and it took off at a great pace. How's that? Listen to what he says here. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, in other words, if you had confidence and tomorrow you turn around and you say, ooh, still nothing has happened, I'm going to turn around and walk away from this stuff. God says, listen to this, I will not be pleased with him. God doesn't like people that choose to believe today and tomorrow turn around and say, ah, this is rubbish. Because that's not faith. Hello? That's not faith. Now, Satan loves to come over and try and bring about doubt and fear and unbelief. He comes to you and he says to you, ooh, you know what? You've given a lot of money into the kingdom of God and nothing has changed. You're wasting your time. You're making the pastor rich. Shows you what the devil knows. When you give to God, you give to God. You don't give to the pastor. You don't give to the church. If you give to the pastor, God can't bless it. It must go to the work of the kingdom of God. Amen? Because then God can bless it. But the devil likes to come and chiri chiri in your ear. Why? Because he wants you to stop. You see, the devil can't stop the process of sowing and reaping. Once a seed goes into the sand, into the soil, something starts that he loses control of. It's going to come back. So he needs to stop you from putting it in. And the way he does that is to give you 110 reasons why this is ridiculous, this is rubbish, this is never going to work, you're wasting your time, etc., etc. He wants to get you to abandon the seed through doubt. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I believe with all of my heart that there are many Christians that are very close to having the breakthrough and the release of harvest. And the more the devil starts shouting in your ear, the closer you probably are to receiving that harvest. But then they turn around and they walk away and they never receive it. Because it's only he that perseveres till the end that will receive it. But there is a promise. He that is coming will surely come and will not delay. In other words, what God says is, listen, I'm not sitting up here laughing at you because you're going through a difficult time. At the right time, the time that I have decided, I'll come and the blessing will come. But you're not going to force my hand. You're not going to manipulate me. You're not going to intimidate me. And sulking is not an option. I'll come when I'm ready. I won't delay. Sometimes we want things to happen now. And if God gives it to you now, you'll blow it up. Because you're not ready for it. Sometimes the reason why God is taking a bit longer is because something in your life isn't right and God first needs to deal with it. And when it's dealt with, the harvest suddenly just is released. Earlier we saw that the Corinthians church was taking up an offering to sow into the work of the kingdom of God. Now let me show you what the Apostle Paul had to say about their giving and the effect that their giving would have on them, the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 9, sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will also increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks towards God. The first part again. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Did you hear what he says there? God sees us as sowers. And he is the one that supplies the seed in the first place. Listen here. If God didn't give you anything, you wouldn't have anything in the first place. So God is the one that supplies seed to the sower. If it wasn't for God, you couldn't put anything in the offering in any case. He sees us as sowers and he supplies us with seed to sow into his kingdom. This will result, according to Paul, in an increase in our store of seed. Ooh. Now, what is seed in my life? There it is. It's money. What does God say? When you begin to put your faith in the process of sowing and reaping, God will make sure that you get more. Hello? Because God wants you to sow. Because God wants you to prosper. And the place where your seed is stored, which for you is probably your bank account or under your mattress, probably some of you, your mattress is going to start growing. It's going to get higher and higher and higher. Some of you, the bank manager that right now doesn't want to know your name, in a couple of years' time when you walk in there, it's like, shwing, yeah. Oh, Mr. Bochenpool. So this will result in an increase in our store of seed and righteousness, which refers to eternal blessings. How good is God? Not only is he going to bless you in your storehouse, but he will bless you in righteousness, which means eternal things. This process will allow God to bless us by making us, according to Paul, rich in every way. You have to repeat that with me. Rich in every way. Now, what is prosperity? Is prosperity a good bank account? No. There are drug dealers with very big bank accounts, and let me tell you what, they are not prospering. There's a big hiding coming for them. It's the opposite of prosperity. Godly prosperity is not just food on the table, is not just food in the cupboards, is not just gas in the tank, it's not just a car in the garage, it's not just school fees that have been paid, children that can wear nice clothes. It's also stability in the marriage. Hello? It's also favor with people. Hello? It's also breakthroughs when they are needed. What does God say? When you begin to honor God in the principles of sowing and reaping, the blessings will not just come to you financially. You will be richly blessed in every way. For some of you, your mother-in-law will even start liking you probably. I know you can't believe that right now, but just give God a chance. You never know what will happen. If God says every way, then God means every way. Come on. Because God wants to bless us in every way. And then he ends off. Why is it that God's going to start prospering you? Listen to this. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Hello? One of the reasons why God blesses people is so that people can bless people. One of the reasons why God makes certain people rich is so that their riches can play a role in the things of the kingdom of God. Listen to this. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in the thanksgiving to God. This service that you are performing is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks towards God. When I am blessed financially, when I am beginning to prosper richly in every way, and I begin to give more into the kingdom of God, I allow the kingdom of God to expand quicker. Listen, your churches also need finances. Hello? The pastor's car doesn't run on fresh air. I've tried, it didn't work. Rent must be paid, things must happen. But you see, the thing is, sometimes missionaries need to go out. But you can't send out a missionary unless there is finances to get him from point A to point B and this and that and wada, wada, wada. So God says, when I see that you begin to do this, I'm going to bless you even more. But understand why I'm blessing you even more. Because I've seen your heart. You like to give, and I'm expecting you to give even more. But the thing is, then it becomes this closed loop circle. How many of you have heard feedback on a PA system? When you walk too close to one of the speakers and there's that high-pitched tweet that starts coming through. I'm not going to display it because I'll burst your eardrums. But it happens because there is like a closed loop system. My voice goes through the amplifier, which gets pushed through the speakers. But because I'm too close to the speaker, the amplified voice comes back into the microphone, which is then amplified again, which comes through the speaker, which is amplified. An amplified signal, a very big amplified signal, is now coming into the speaker. And when that keeps happening over and over and over again, you pop your speakers. But God's not going to pop anything but your bank account. Because that's what's going to happen. It's what we said earlier. Nobody tells you what to give. That's your decision. Nobody says you must give. That's your decision. But if you start with 10 rand, you name that seed, and you say to the Lord, Lord, thank you that I can sow this seed into your kingdom. The Lord says he's going to begin to bless you richly in every area. Somewhere along the line, a harvest is going to come through. You're going to experience increase. Maybe then you give 11 rand, but you're giving more. A bigger signal is coming in, which means a bigger one is going to come out. Maybe in 6 months' time, you give 15 rand. God will make sure that more keeps coming back, because if more comes to you, you can give more. Amen. So when? Whether it is here, whether it is at any other place where they take up an offering, when you give into the offering for the work of the Lord, he says you are not only meeting the needs of the church, you are also being afforded by God an opportunity to sow a seed into your own life. Because the seed that you are sowing is into the kingdom, but the harvest comes to you. I'm not saying God's not going to make use of it other ways. He will. But the harvest comes back to you. No matter how you look at it, giving to God is probably the best financial decision that you can ever make if you understand it and apply it properly. I don't know what church you come from. I don't know what meetings you have attended. Listen carefully to me. God doesn't need your money. To him belongs the cattle on 1,000 hills. But he has provided seriously wonderful principles in his kingdom that can bless you if you apply them. Sowing and reaping is one of those that can really make a difference in your life. Don't expect the doors to open tomorrow, because when you put a seed into the ground, it takes a bit of time before it comes back. But once it starts growing, you can't stop it. It's probably time for some of you to begin to change the way that you look at offering time. Offering time is not like, oh my goodness, I have to give something again. Keep your money. That attitude will not bless God and nothing will come back anyway. But if you understand that God is providing you an opportunity to change your financial situation, to change your hurt and pain that you're walking around with, to change the fact that you never have favor with people, whatever the need is, then it's probably going to start changing your life when you apply it correctly. This thing has been abused a lot in the church. I'm really sorry to say. I watch TBN a lot as well. The one thing that I really don't like is the fact that they keep hammering on money, money, money. Now you're probably sitting there thinking, but you're talking about it yourself. No, I'm teaching you something. Whether you give or you don't give is not going to affect the way I sleep at night. And it's not going to affect the things that God does through me. Because my eyes are not towards you. My eyes are there where they're supposed to be. God is my provider, not you, not any other man. I'm going to share with you something that I've never spoken about publicly. Many years ago, I was involved in meetings that was running under my ministry. And a businessman came and spoke to me and he said, I would like to become involved in your ministry. I said to him, if God's called you to be here, then it's good. You can become involved. And in the beginning, he was submissive. He accepted what I said. And he started giving a lot of money into my ministry, which was good. because that money could be applied in good ways for the work of the kingdom. But you see, he felt that because he's giving money into my ministry, that gives him the right to tell me what to do. And you have to understand something. You do not give money to me, you give it to the kingdom. And the only one that tells me what to do is God. I want all of you to hear that nicely. You come to me with the wrong attitude, I show you the door. And you see, this man started trying to take control over my ministry. It culminated in one night where at one of my meetings, he treated me like a piece of dirt and tried to tell me who I am and what I'm supposed to do. All because he felt he's giving money that gives him the right to control me. And from that day forward, there was no more correspondence between me and him. Because giving something to the kingdom of God doesn't mean that gives you the right to try and control things. You give to God, you don't give to man. And you know what? When I blew up, I don't blow up a lot, but it does have to happen now and then. When I blew up, he had the audacity to say to me, "What about all the money that I have given into your ministry?" I said, "Sir, take yourself and your money. There's the door. Please go. I never want to see you again. Because I'm not going to lose any sleep over the 10 or 20 or 50 or whatever rand that you think you're blessing me with. If you can't give it to God, don't give it. Amen? Don't give it. Somebody please give the Lord a big hand. Well, bless God. It's offering time. There was at least a couple of people that listened. Well, bless God for that. All right. Today I'm going to do something a bit different. Before you do anything, come stand here with me. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. Is there anybody here that for some reason you don't have anything to offer today? I don't want you to be afraid. Just raise your hands. Sometimes we forget. Right. Here's money. I want you to go to those people and I want you to give all of them. No, we have to do this. Nobody today must give nothing because you have an opportunity to change something in your life. If you don't have something, nobody look at nobody else, but just raise your hand. If you don't have something, we're going to give you something. There's a lady there at the back. Please go and bless her. I think there was another lady there. There's a gentleman there. Please go bless them. All right. Right there at the back. Okay, how does this stuff work? Can I tell you what you're supposed to give? No. Can I force you to give? No. All right. Now, hopefully you heard today that if you just take that money and you don't allow it to represent something, you are throwing it down the drain. So take your money and put it in your hand and raise it to God. Come, raise it to God. And I want you to say this with me. Father God, this is my seed. And I'm going to sow it with a very cheerful heart. And I thank you that you are wide awake and that you control the principles of sowing and reaping. Devil, you can stress now because you've just lost control of this seed in my hand. And I thank you, Jesus, for a wonderful harvest. Now, I'm not going to tell you what to name it. While you put your hand in the air, you talk to God and you tell the Lord what you are naming this seed. If you need finances, say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm calling it money." If you need favor, you say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm calling it favor." Whatever you need, you know what you need. Okay, now I'm going to sow into your life. Every Sunday when you come to this ministry, we bless you with the word of God. Give me that. Please look at me. Everybody. Hello, just look at me. Here is my seed that I'm going to sow into your life. Can I tell you, Eddie, roughly how many of these have we sown over the last 5 years? Roughly. About 60, 70,000. Between 60 and 70,000 of these I have sown. Do you think that there's something coming my way? Yes. Amen. Now, today, I am going to sow this into your life, and I'm going to tell you what I'm calling it. I'm calling it my new building. How's that?
Well, bless God for that.
And if you remember, somewhere during the week, you thank God for the harvest. Amen. Now I want to finish off by just saying this to you. If you never come back here, that's fine. If you do, you are welcome. But the next time an offering plate comes past you, remember what I taught you today. It is a door that you choose to go through or not. Do not be manipulated by man. Speak to the Lord and find out what He wants you to do. Listen to Him, not to man. And whatever you give, whether it's 10 cents or whether it's 100 rand or whether it's 1,000 rand, it's between you and God. Make sure that you tell God what you are sowing for. Never just take money and go like this again, because you are wasting good seed. Amen. Well, bless God for that.